All right, we're in Acts chapter 3, and we're looking here at a very, very interesting time in the life of the early church, and I'm really excited about this passage. It's something God has been doing in my heart, and I want to bring out really a concept today of lame Christianity, and I really want to use a physical issue in the Bible, a man who was born lame, to help paint a picture of lame Christianity, a spiritual problem. And I want you to see a few things that the Lord showed me, and I want to help you to become a strong Christian. I was trying to find an illustration to open up our time, and I was on the internet looking at strong and strength, and there was all these bodybuilder guys, you know, and I found a thing about a guy who could deadlift like 1,200 pounds. Oh, that's crazy. That's some strength, but we don't need physical strength, okay? We need spiritual strength when it comes to the work of God. We need men and women who are strong in faith, and that's really the key in all of this. I'm finding more and more as we get into church planning and talking to different churches and we're getting out there in the community and in the Christian community, if we could say it that way, that the byword for the day, if we could say it that way, the call word for the day is defeatism. And defeatism is a dark plague that comes from the pit of hell. And we live in a world that is dark. But we serve the King of Kings, and He is victorious, and He can do anything. And it is really a tragedy today that we're finding churches and people and families and all kinds of things where they're taking steps away from the Bible. And we're compromising our music just to draw people in. We're compromising our standards because, you know, nobody wants that religion anymore and all these things. And I'm telling pastors, I said, listen, guys, I don't know, you know, what's going on. But I said, listen, you don't have to compromise anything to see God work. You don't have to compromise those things. In fact, it is amazing to see people who will stand firm on the Word of God that doesn't change, and they will see some amazing blessing. And I just believe that's the hour in which we live. You do not have to compromise to get results. If you want to see God work, get to Jesus, and He'll fix it all. That's the key, friends. That's the key. Acts chapter 3. Verses 1, 2, and 3 we'll read here, and then we'll get started. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame. Again, that's your phrase there. You want to see that phrase, man lame. If you circle in your Bible or pencil or mark or underline, I circle that verse, that those little two little words there. From his mother's womb was carried, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, asked an alms. I want to talk to you today again about a physical problem that has real spiritual application to our life. And today I want to assure you that faith is the solution to your lame Christianity. I'm going to give you a picture of what lame Christianity looks like right here from our passage. And then I want to encourage you about faith. And then I'm going to ask you, really, when we get to the end, to step out and be strong for God in these days. And that's what we need. In fact, I'm pleading with the men here today, and I'm pleading with you to stand up and lead by faith in this day, because we need men who will jump up by faith and lead their families in this local church into all that God has for us. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here today to look at the Word of God. What a privilege it is here in America to have the Word of God, and maybe a privilege we won't have in 20 years. We don't know. But we know that today it is something that maybe even is taken for granted. But Lord, today we're reckoning the reality that it is a privilege to be here. And it's a privilege to have a Bible. And it's a privilege to have so many resources for preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The understanding of truth today is we don't lack for knowledge, that's for sure. But Lord, I pray that you'd help our obedience today, that what we know would be lived out in our life. Lord, we don't need to know more today. We need to obey what we already do know. And Lord, if we get to that place in our life, that kind of Christianity is the kind of Christianity that sees miracles, that is reproducing, that has people they're influencing for Christ, that has eternal benefit. Oh, Lord, I pray today that you would transform lame Christians into strong Christians, and they would find in you everything that they need. Oh, Lord, thank you that it's simple, that it's just by faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three simple thoughts. Let's start with number one. The problem you have is lame Christianity. We just read the verses there. But I want you to see the picture of this man. Again, here we have a physical debility, a physical handicap, if we can say it that way. But there is real spiritual application here. And I want to give you two simple thoughts about the problem of lame Christianity. Number one, a lame Christian life is described in our passage like this. Here's the description. It is a Christian life that is, if we could say it this way, crippled and or hindered from being normal. Okay? This man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This handicapped wasn't normal. I mean, the natural frame of a person when they're born, the idea is that they can walk. And this man here, he was not normal, and he needed help. And what was happening here is he was being helped on a daily basis. Okay? And he was being helped to the temple, and people were doing things for him, and we're going to get there in just a second. But the whole point is that he was hindered from being normal. What is the normal Christian life? If we were to take our physical illustration here and give it some spiritual application, what is the normal Christian life? Think about that for a minute. Because it's not really complicated. The norm, if we could say it that way, for the Christian life is a life that simply pleases God. We could say it that way. Stop for a minute. How do you please God? How can you please God? How can you have a life that is pleasing to God? How can you have a normal life? And the only way you can do that is when you walk by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us these things, and the normal Christian life, if we could say it this way, is a life of simply taking one simple step of faith at a time. In our Bible study this morning, we talked about James chapter 1, verses 21, 22 there, and James really encourages the believers in Jerusalem about being doers of the word and not hearers only. Really, when you're just hearing the word and you're not doing anything about what you're hearing, you're really deceived. And that's the whole concept here. You're crippled from what God wants you to be. See, you're here hearing truth, and you hear a lot of truth, probably a couple times a day on Sunday and maybe throughout the week. And then maybe you do some other Bible studies or things like that throughout the week. We take in a lot of things, but let me ask you this. Are there steps of faith that you take on a daily basis in obedience to the truth that you hear? Because if that's not happening, what happens is we're not normal. You see, because the normal Christian life is a life of faith dependence, walking in step with Him. Colossians 2 and verse number 6 says, "As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Christ." Established in the faith. Well, how are you grounded and growing in Christ when you're established in the faith like you receive Him? How do you receive Jesus? You receive Jesus by faith. How are you to walk a normal Christian life? One simple step of faith at a time. One simple step of faith at a time. When's the last time you took a step of faith? When's the last time where you were looking at some situation in your life, whether it was giving out a gospel tract, okay, getting involved in somebody's life who needed help, getting involved in a ministry opportunity, okay, maybe like Mineral Point coming up. And God's looking at you and He's saying, I need you to trust me here. Maybe it's with your finances. We're at the beginning of the year. I don't know if you guys have done stewardship emphasis at all or faith promise, which I'm sure is either here or around the corner at some point. You know, when's the last time you took your finances to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. He goes, okay, take this step. Whoa, whoa, wait a second. What do you mean take this step? We can't do that. It doesn't work into the budget. Wait, I don't have a budget. It doesn't work, okay? And it doesn't work out that way. And He's saying, but I don't want you to walk by sight. I want you to walk by faith. I don't want you to give out of abundance. I want you to give out a heart that loves me. Like a widow that just has two mites. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a life that is contradictory to what the world has to offer. See, this is a normal Christian life, and too many of Christians today, we try to please God with anything other than faith. Did you know that? We try to please God, but we try to do it in a way that's humanly possible. We try to do good things. Do you know the pagan religions of our society do that? We try to listen to the right music. We wear the proper clothes. We have the right Bible. We go to the church services. We do all these things because we want to please God. And God says, where is faith? If you want to please me, where's your faith? Because it doesn't take faith to walk into a church service. It doesn't take faith to listen to the right music. It doesn't take faith to do those things. What I want you to do is I want you to depend on me every day of your life. And I want you to take steps. See, what cripples the normal Christian life is simple unbelief. It's just simple unbelief. And it's unbelief in the gospel, as we mentioned already. Now, pastor's burdened that we as a church get excited about the gospel. Excited. Why? Because Jesus is excited about the gospel. He's excited. Isn't the gospel the power of God unto salvation? If we're going to see lives transform and families come, if we're going to see 12 families transformed on Valentine's Day for the banquet that we're going to have, hey, listen, you know, it's never going to happen if the gospel isn't preached. And it's never going to happen until we get excited that the gospel can do these things. You know, if you're not convinced that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that if you're not convinced that it can't transform, that it can transform somebody's life, you have no reason to give it out. None. But I'm telling you, friends, I'm excited about the gospel. I try to tell a lot of people. Why? Because I see people all over out in the streets that look just like me, or at least just like I used to be. And I'm thinking, wow, if God could do that for me, he could do it for them too. Hey, you know what you need? You need what I have, what I got. And all you need is somebody to open up your mouth and get excited and believe God that the gospel still works. Friends, the gospel still works. I don't care what Christianity in general is saying out there. They have to compromise the gospel message. We just don't talk about sin and hell. You know, we're just trying to get people to pray a prayer. No. No. The gospel is the full word of God. We don't compromise on any section of the gospel. Hey, you want to be a crippled Christian today, get into a place of unbelief about the gospel. Let me encourage you today. Get some gospel tracts and you walk out of here. And say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it all. But I need you to help me. And I'm going to pass out gospel tracts this week. And I, by faith, am going to take you today. Pastor's burdened about it. And if pastor's burdened about it, you're burdened about it. And if you're burdened about it, I'm burdened about it. And I believe the gospel is the power of God. I'm taking these gospel tracts with me. And Lord, lead me. Would you please lead me? Because when we're not doing that, friends, we're crippled. We're not walking as we normally should be. That's the whole point there. We get an unbelief not only about the gospel, but about God's desire to use us. Again, we talked about how when I was here in October about who we are in Christ and all the blessings it is to be a Christian, and somehow we get stuck in this mindset, well, you know, I fail one time after another, and God can never use a person like me. That's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. All it takes is a moment of confession about an issue in your life, and at that very moment, boom, restored, and God's saying, usable, let's do this. And that can happen in a moment of time. We don't need Baptist penance or any of that other stuff, okay? You don't have to, I saw the pictures of the Muslim guys where they lash themselves with the cat of nine tails. You don't have to do that stuff. Okay, that's not what Jesus has. What he says is that if you agree with me, confess with your mouth, then we can restore you, we can forgive your sins and bring you right back to usefulness. Hey, listen, friend, it's a moment. It's a faith decision. Don't get in unbelief about what God wants to do with your life. Get a vision for what God says, and he wants to use you. There's all kinds of things in the Bible about how God wants to use you. Unbelief in prayer. Here's another one. Man. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. What did the disciples want more than anything for them, Jesus to teach them? Luke chapter number 11, verse number 1. Jesus, or the disciples came to Jesus. They said, oh, Jesus, teach us how to preach. Oh, no. Oh, teach us how to disciple. Oh, teach us how to play the piano. How to sing in the choir. Oh, God, teach us. No, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to communicate with you, how to have a relationship with you. Teach us how to hear from heaven and how heaven can hear from us and how we can have our prayers answered. Teach us how to pray. Friend, if you don't pray, your life is crippled. And I'm not saying, you know, the kind of prayer, you know, bless the bunch as we crunch our lunch prayer, okay? I'm talking about people who are so burdened that they, you know, will get with their spouse once a week and set aside a time where we're going to bring our kids before Jesus and our family and our church. Hey, when's the last time you prayed for your pastor? Pray for him. Pray for the people all around you. When's the last time you prayed that God would use you to see a soul saved? That's a great prayer. You know, God will answer that prayer. That's probably why most people don't pray it. Because we're so in unbelief about soul winning, and we're so in unbelief about how God wants to use us, that when it comes to prayer and praying prayers that we know God's going to answer, and we don't want to pray the prayers that we know God's going to answer because it confronts our lame Christianity. Lame Christianity is simply unable to walk normally by faith. By faith. Not only is lame Christianity described in our passage as that which is unable to walk normal, but lame Christianity identified it in our passage like this. Again, verse 2. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. He was carried daily. This, oh man, this is a tragic Christian life. Okay? Now again, this is a physical malady, but the spiritual application is dynamic. This is a Christian life that is carried around by other people. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Weber? Well, many of us are very familiar with this Christian life. Yeah, we're very familiar with it. See, because what happens is it's kind of like this. We see something that we want in life, and instead of going to prayer and asking God to provide it for us, we get it for ourselves. See, that's being carried around by the strength of men. We often, you know, when we need something, we look to people to solve our problems. I just mentioned this message here in the BCM chapel the other day, and it's like kids in their life, when they want something, instead of praying about it and asking God to provide it for them, they call mom and dad, and mom and dad get it for them. And it's not wrong to get things for your kids, but when are we going to teach them about faith? I've got a son, and he's getting a little older, and a daughter, and she's getting older too. I guess they do that at the same time, and they're really cute kids. and I'm not just saying that, they are. I mean, everybody tells us that, so we have to believe that, right? And I want to buy them everything. Oh, I was at the store around Christmas time, and we were returning something for my son and getting him a pair of trousers, and we were walked over by the little girl's dresses for Christmas, and there was this little girl dress there, and I thought, oh man, she would look so cute in that. And I thought, what am I thinking? How do I think? Why does that happen to a guy? And so I took a picture and sent it to my wife, and she thought the same thing. And this is the kind of things that we do. Now, we didn't get that. We didn't do that because it just wouldn't have been wise. But how often do we do that? When do we stop and say, Lord, can you? I mean, she would look really cute, but is this your will? Do you want this? Does this help my daughter know Jesus more? Does this help my son understand what Jesus is trying to do in our family? Is my son's faith in God going to be dependent upon what dad does for him? You see what I'm saying? This is a Christianity that's carried around by men. How often do we manipulate impossible situations and put a human twist on it so that our hands can figure it out to just take God right out of the picture? Friends, God puts us in impossible situations because He wants to prove to you that He is God and that He can do anything. Like He can send you to Mineral Point and give you a situation that's maybe not an easy one. But you want to know what? He's going to reveal to this local church as God leads that He is the God of the impossible. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a God that's impossible. He's going to raise up a thriving church in Shawnee, Wisconsin. You're going to see it. You have a part in that ministry, by the way. And you're going to see it happen. And I hope some of you come to see it happen. But we're not putting our hands on it. Okay? We're letting everybody know, hey, this is God. Jesus is doing this. This isn't the work of men's hands. We don't want God's glory to be stolen from him. He's jealous for his glory, and we're going to let him have it. Okay? And when it comes to our Christian life, we should not allow the faith of others to carry us around. Where is faith today? Lame Christianity is carried around on faith in people instead of faith in God. Not only that, but lame Christianity here, lame Christians expect things to be provided for them. Again, verse 2, it says here, he says that he asked alms of them that entered into the temple. So this guy, he's not normal, and he's got to be picked up by people, and he's got to be carried to this place, and he's got to be set down. Now that he's sitting here, he's begging for things. Again, very picturesque of a Christianity that's not functioning normally. Okay, the emphasis here is not on the fact that this guy was asking for things. Jesus loves for us to ask for things. The problem is the object. Okay, the expectation is awesome. It's the object of the expectation that needs to be right. You see, he was asking for things of men. Isn't it tragic that this guy sat outside a church, if we could say it that way, and he was looking for men to provide for him? And everybody just walked past him and just threw him money and enabled his unbelief. Never turned him to God. Never turned him to God. Never helped him there. But they just kept enabling his unbelief there. Who was going to point him to Jesus? Who was going to point him to Jesus? We all demonstrate faith. Do you know that? We all demonstrate faith. Some of us demonstrate faith in different ways. But how did you get here today? Most of us rode in a vehicle, maybe a car, maybe a bus, maybe something. How many of us checked the brakes to make sure they were working before we got in? Okay? Faith, by the way. How many of you checked the credentials of the driver? Faith. In some situations, probably great faith. Okay? But we all demonstrate faith every day. What's the object of your faith? Who are you depending in? Who are you trusting in? What's happening here? The question is, again, who is the object of your faith? We all know what faith is. I always say it like this, too. I like working with addicts. I think addicts have the market cornered on faith. In fact, did you know addiction is in the Bible? In 2 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians, it says that the house of Stephanas addicted themselves to the ministry. So addictions are good. You know what an addiction is? It's a dependence. It's a dependence on something other than Jesus. Dependence on a drug, on a food, you know, on a lifestyle, whatever it is. I think addicts have the corner market on what it means to have faith. I just tell them, I say, you guys got to get your object down. Stop depending on these drugs. Stop depending on this food. Stop depending on this lifestyle, and put your faith in Jesus. All the faith that you have. And it's amazing when that light clicks on, they're like, wow, yeah, you're totally right. Is the object of your faith today people? Because that's what this guy was showing us here, that his object and his dependence, he was depending on people to do for him what only God could do, which is, you know, provide for his needs. And how does God provide for you today? Does he provide for you, or are you trusting in people? Lame Christians have all the faith in the world with people, even have the most earnest expectation that people will even perform what they promise. You know that there's people in your life that you probably trust more than you do God. Yet when they turn their hearts Godward, expectation and faith seem to disappear. Oh, I like tea, by the way. I like tea. And tea, when it's warm, you take it outside, it's got that little hot little vapor, okay? And it goes up, like James says, it goes up and then it vanishes away. That's what our faith and expectations often like in God when it comes to certain situations. Tell me what your situation is today. What are you going through? What trial is God bringing your family through? What are you believing God for? What is your pastor confronting you with when it comes to Christianity? Is your faith and expectation in God like the vapor off a hot cup of tea on a cold morning just rises up and vanishes away because you'd rather try to figure out how to do it humanly Lame Christianity is a problem because you are not walking normally, because you're carried around by the hands of men, trusting in what they can provide for you. Number two, the solution God is offering your lame Christianity. The solution he's offering. Verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Let me pause for a moment and just help you to see something. We see here that in verse 4, Peter, looking at this guy, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Which has the idea that this guy was sitting here looking for things, but there was, he had his head down. He wasn't looking at them. He said, look on us. So there's the idea that he was there, but he was ashamed. He was ashamed. He didn't want to be there. He wished there was another way to do it. And friend, I believe that there are earnest Christians here who are stuck in a crippled Christianity, a lame Christianity. And it's hard to live the Christian life because you just don't like the Christian life that you have. And you're looking for somebody to give you something that doesn't enable lame Christianity but delivers you from it. I believe that. And there's a solution. There's a solution. Let me give you a couple of them here. God is offering lame Christians faith-filled preachers. Look at that. We've got Peter and John. I love those guys. And every time they show up, neat things happen. And they look at this guy and they say, rise up and walk. Well, that's new. This guy, his whole life. I'll be honest with you. I believe there are Christians who are by faith born into the kingdom of God. They're God's children. But when they are birthed in with a defect that their whole Christian life is filled with unbelief. And I see that in Galatians chapter number 3, where Paul, he deals with the Galatians. He says, you know, have you begun by the Spirit, or are you now made perfect by the flesh? Who hath deceived you? And I believe there are Christians that are birthed into that kind of Christian life, who are born again by faith, but they walk in the power of the flesh, which accomplishes nothing. When people tell me their Christian life is hard and they just can't figure out and it's a struggle, I'm saying, man, you need to get to Jesus. You need to get to Jesus. And God is offering lame Christians, faith-filled preachers, Peter and John, rise up and walk. Faith-filled preachers will encourage you to faith. I like your pastor. You want to know why? He challenges my faith. He tries to tell me that, hey, Brother Weber, you know, you need to think this way. Don't think that way. That's not God. Think this way. This is God. You don't need to do that. You should look to God, and God can help you. I love Pastor Roberts because he always points me to Jesus. I think Pastor Roberts is a faith-filled preacher. And the Bible tells us over and over again in the Bible about how in the day in which we live, we are to exhort one another. So much more as we see the day approaching, and the context of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12 there is to faith. He's rebuking them about their unbelief, the whole thing at Kadesh Barnea. And faith-filled preachers, they encourage you to faith. They look you in the eyes and they say, get up and walk. Get up and walk on your own Christian feet. Get up and walk by faith. Okay? Stop riding on the coattails of your pastor and get up and live the Christian life. Okay? Don't do that. Get up and walk, McGuanago Baptist Church. Stop letting God's hand pass you by in this day. Let God put his hand on you in this day. Get up and walk by faith. Don't stand around and watch everybody else see people saved and get out there and pass out tracts. Get up and walk yourself. Don't sit around. Don't be stuck in this position expecting somebody else to provide for you. Get up and walk. Stop begging at the gate and walk into the throne room. How about that? You know, when you get up and walk, you'll stop telling stories about how God's using everyone else. And you'll start telling stories about how God's using you. You'll be able to come to testimony service and give testimonies of how God's blessing your life and doing things, not because of your strength, but because you took a step of faith. I don't understand it. I didn't understand it all. I just know God was asking me to do this. I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying, and God says, go give this person a tract. You know what? I did it. I walked over there and I didn't know anything, and I just, God wants me to give this to you. And you never would have known it, Pastor, but this person, they were just there crying out to whoever they were crying out to, saying, I wish, God, you would help me to understand how to get to heaven. And it just so happens I came at the right time with a gospel tract. And you know what happened? That person got saved. Have you ever had that happen to you? It does happen all the time. All the time. But oftentimes we don't get there because we don't get up and walk. We don't rise up and walk. And I'm encouraging you, rise up and walk! Walk by faith, follow Jesus. He'll do those things. Faith-filled preachers will encourage you to faith. Faith-filled preachers will be an example to follow. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And faithful men are living examples that the normal Christian life is possible in this present evil world. Present evil world. I don't like to follow people who are, you know, going down the wrong road. I like to look for people. I'm listening for conversations. I'm finding people. Hey, this person said, you know, I read my Bible. God told me to do this and I did it. Those are the kind of people I want to be around. And I don't care if they're new Christians or if they're old Christians. Those are the kind of people I want to be around. Because those are the kind of people that have exciting things that happen in their life. Those people have exciting testimonies. Unfortunately, those are the kind of people that most of us don't like to be around because they're too convicting. They're too convicting to be around those people. God's really using people. They're seeing all kinds of things. Nothing's ever happening in my life. I'm just going to sit over here and keep begging at the gate. I mean, because that's the way that we always do it. That's the way we've always done it. And the reality is faith-filled preachers are people worth following, not idolizing. If there's people in your life and preachers and men of God that you idolize, friends, that's not what the Bible tells you. Idolizing is not what we're supposed to do. Following means doing what they do, not loving them as a man, taking steps of faith like they do, having faith like they do, walking with God like they do, having that personal, vibrant relationship with God like they do. And me and my wife aren't here today because, because we come from a great heritage and, you know, we have a special training and all these things. No, don't get me wrong. My wife comes from a godly heritage. Her dad was a man of God and I went to Bible school and so did my wife, but those aren't the reasons why we're here today. Okay, we're here today because every time God puts in front of us an opportunity to do something, we say, Lord, it doesn't make sense to us, but that's okay. If it makes sense to you, then we're going to take a step of faith. You know, often over and over people are saying, hey, so where's the church building in Shiloh and where are all the people? Well, there isn't any of either. Now, there are a lot of people in Shiloh, but there aren't no church people. In fact, I got a call from a pastor the other day who encouraged me that all the people that were in the church, they're now leadership and members at his church, so I had no need to go and visit with any of them. Don't worry, brother, they're functioning well at our church. Okay, I get the hint. Okay, I don't want those people. Keep them, because I'm looking today for God to do something special, something new. Faithful preachers are an example to follow. I'm following men in my life that are leading me to a place where I can trust God for the things that He wants to do. I like hanging around with people like that. I like hanging around with my buddies over here. I appreciate these guys. And there's just a couple of them right here. They encourage me and they stir me to faith. There's a lot of other buddies out here. These guys are special over here. And they encourage me to faith. And friends, I want to be around those kinds of people. God is offering lame Christianity faith-filled preachers, but not only that, He's offering lame Christianity no human solution. No human solution. You see, what he's not offering them, look at that. Let's see. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us! And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk! We walk by faith and not by sight. For God's not offering you a human solution to your problem because it would be contrary to who He is. It would be contrary to His nature. God's not looking for you to solve things humanly. And as a Christian, He's looking for you to turn to Him. Because when you're in situations that are impossible, only He can fix them. Now, you can manipulate the situation and twist it around and put a human spin on it. But the reality is any human or natural solution to the problems that you have will nurture lame Christianity. And God's not looking to do that. Peter says, I have nothing human to give you. Gold and silver have I none. I've got nothing human to fix your problem, friend. I have no amount of money that can fix your situation. I can't buy you out of that spot. He says, I have no well-devised plan that can manipulate you to standing up and walking around. Did you see that? That's what he's saying there. I don't have a plan. There's not a rehab program that can fix your ankle bones there, friend. He says, I have no fine-tuned process that can develop true spirituality in your life, Christian. There's no fine-tuned process that can develop true spirituality. I don't have these things because they don't work. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have them. People are like, Brother Weber, but help us out here. What do you got? It's not a human. It's not something I can pull out of my pocket and give you. I don't have that thing because that's not what God's offering. You see, a faith-filled preacher will never steal glory from God. He will always point you to God as the only solution. See, that's the point. He says, I don't have anything, but here, okay, what I do have, let me give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. That's all I got. Jesus, oh, that's a great solution, I think. I'd take Jesus over anything, any day of the week. But Brother Weber, that doesn't help my financial solution. Yes, it does. Jesus helps all financial solutions. Well, that doesn't help my family situation. Yeah, he can help you there too. But you don't understand my situation. You're right, I don't. But Jesus does. Amen. He understands it all. He knows it inside and out. And he knows every step you need to take if you just trust in him. See, God is offering your lame Christianity its only solution. The preacher rightly said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I have give I to thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Get up and walk. I have nothing natural to offer you, but I can introduce you to the King of the universe, my friend. The King of the universe! If he can do anything, he can do anything in your situation. He is supernatural. It's not natural, it's supernatural. I love getting in a place in my life where I look around and I'm like, whoa, wait, how did that happen? Whoa, how did that happen? Well, Jesus did that. That's what happened. He stepped into my life and he can do something about your problem too. You don't need more faith today, friend. You don't need more grace. You don't need more revelation of God's word. You don't need more knowledge. You need more Jesus. That's what you need. And when you get Jesus, you get all those things. You get everything you need. You are complete in him, Colossians 2 and verse number 10. You're complete. It means you lack nothing. You're filled up fully with everything you need when you've got Jesus. Friend, if you're in here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, you've got everything you need for your situation. You lack absolutely nothing. Yes! That's exciting, isn't it? Peter says, I can introduce you to he who has the power to do anything. Hey, did you know that Jesus can create anything from nothing? Yeah, that's what we read about in Genesis chapter number 1. He created the world, the universe, from nothing. From nothing! Yeah, do you know anybody else who can do that? If you know him, let me know. Because I don't think there is anybody else out there that can do that. Okay? Nobody can create something from nothing. Except for God. What can he do in your situation if he can do that? Wow. Yeah, wow. I heard a preacher the other day. And Brother, he was preaching at the stewardship banquet at Falls, and he was talking about how he was preaching on giving, and he was talking about how you just need to give to God, and he will give back to you. And it's a good principle there. Obviously, the first step there is the step of faith of giving, so then God can give back to you. And he was preaching this message at a banquet, and a lady had come forward, 7 kids, husband just lost their husband, passed away in an accident, and some insurance policy gave her $30,000. And I don't know the age group of the kids there, but I guess they were younger. And she just believed that the Lord wanted her to give this money to, I don't know if it was the church or to him or some situation. I don't know how it worked. And I guess he was struggling with it. There's this lady. She just lost her husband, this insurance money. And she looked at him and said, Brother Gibbs, she said, this insurance money, this is not enough to supply the need for our family. It's not going to happen. This is just $30,000. It's not going to do anything for our family. I'm giving it to God. And I guess he was pretty torn about the whole scenario, and he didn't know what to do, and he just talked to your pastor, I don't know, you know. And boy, that's a challenge, hey, to your faith when somebody walks up right after a message and says, I'm going to do what you just said, especially in that situation. Whoa. I guess within months or not a very long time, she got a call from an attorney about Uncle Herschel, I guess is how it goes. She goes, no, I don't have an Uncle Herschel. And well, apparently Uncle Herschel left her hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't remember how much it was. She goes, oh, yes, that Uncle Herschel. Yeah. Right, yeah, that guy. A God who can create something out of absolutely nothing. Nothing. When we walk by faith, friends, what can he do for you? He's your only solution. You can turn to human means over and over again, but it's never going to fix your problem. It will only continue to enable you to live a crippled Christian life. Do you know that Jesus, that he can save people from the eternal consequence of their sin? He can do that. Did you know that? Do you know anyone else that can do that? I don't. I just don't know that, because Jesus, if he can do these things, what can't he do? And friends, he's the only solution you have today. And I want to get this over and over. He's the only solution. He's the only solution. He's the only one. And he's pleading with you today. Call unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He's pleading with you. He's saying, I will make the lame to walk. I will cause the blind to see. Friend, I will deliver the captives. That's what he's saying. Would you prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it? Would you just trust him today, friend? Would you come to him? Would you be sick and tired of sitting around begging at the gate? And would you get into the throne room of God and look at the eternal blessings that you have as a Christian and let him provide for you? Would you let him do it? Because that's what he's pleading for today. That's what he's looking for. You see, the problem is lame Christianity, but the solution is Jesus. Isn't it great that it's just that simple? It's not complicated. Listen, you don't have to be an intellectual or a theologian to know these things. All you got to do is be able to read the Bible. This guy didn't have anything special. You know what he did get? He got somebody that introduced him to the only solution. Introduced him to Jesus. And he just took Jesus by faith, and man, that changed his whole life. His whole life. Let me give you number three. Number three, and we'll quickly be done here. The outcome you can expect when you have faith in Jesus. Look at verse 7. And he took him by the hand, by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and leaping up, he leaping up stood and walked, and, I lost my spot. Walk. I gotta stop walking here, otherwise all the lights are messing me up. And he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the gate, beautiful gate, which of the temple, and were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had been happened unto him. I'm looking for my other verse. Verse 16. Go down to verse 16. And Peter, he's given those Pharisees and those guys the what for with the word of God. Amen. And verse 16, he says, "In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." Wow, how did you go from man lame to man strong? Faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. There it is. The outcome you can expect when you put your faith in Jesus, I'm telling you, friend, it's real simple. You can expect immediate deliverance. Immediate deliverance. It says that when he took him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediate deliverance from man dependence. Immediate deliverance from the bondage of unbelief. There's friends here in the time, and you're sitting at the gate, and you're begging for God, for people to do something for you, because you are stuck in some sort of debilitating, crippling sin. And you need deliverance. It may be alcohol. It may be drugs. It may be pornography. I don't know what it is here today, friend. But God's got immediate deliverance for you. Immediate deliverance. You get to Jesus and he will fix you. He will fix you all up. He'll clean you all up. He'll wash you through the word, friend. He will fix your whole situation. You can expect immediate deliverance. You're sitting over here crippled because of unbelief about what the Bible says about who you are in Christ. Get to Jesus and believe what he has to say about you. Immediate deliverance when you step in by faith. Pastor, but I just don't understand it. I can't get out there. Listen, don't say I can't when Jesus says you can. Take a gospel tract and walk out there and say, God, I'm walking until I find somebody. And Jesus will lead you to somebody and walk up, give them a gospel tract. Oh, thank you, Jesus. One step at a time. One simple step. Jesus isn't asking you to preach a big gospel crusade. He's just asking you to pass out a gospel tract. And when you step out by faith, Jesus strengthens you. He immediately delivers you, and he strengthens you to do what he's asked you to do. Oh, what a wonderful thing. He'll deliver you. And you will want to publicly praise God. I mean, there's all kinds of amazing things here, and we won't get into them, but your cup will run over with the goodness of God. Look at this guy. He jumps up. He's running around. Oh, boy. Brother John, maybe we could preach a message on dancing out of here. No? David did. Okay, we'll move on. It was his wife that was not the spiritual one, by the way. She's the one that told him to stop. But this guy wasn't. He was just getting Pentecostal. That's all he was doing. I'm just messing around. But anyway, so he was jumping around. He's running around. He's running around the temple. He's having a great time. Why? Because he was excited. Why was he excited? Why was he filled with joy? Why was his cup running over? Because he just came in contact with Jesus Christ. And friend, when you get there, when you get to the place in your life where you and Jesus are having a face-to-face and God's doing something in your life, let me tell you, friend, you will be bubbling over with the goodness of God. And you will be so excited. Oh, I got to tell everybody, look at what God's doing in my life. We're so excited to telling people about the new guns we got or the new phones we have or the new car we got or the new tractor we bought. We're so excited about all these human things. And Jesus says, who's going to be excited about me? Who's going to be excited about me? And I'll tell you, the people that are excited about Jesus are the people who are being delivered from a lame Christianity. Those people who are stepping into Christianity by faith. Charles Spurgeon says, oh, believe me, if you could roll all sin into one mass, if you could take murder and blasphemy, adultery, fornication, and everything vile and unite them in one vast globe of black corruption, then you would not even equal the sin of unbelief. It is the monarch sin, the quintessence of guilt, the mixture of the venom of all crimes, the dregs of the wine of Gomorrah. It is the A1 sin, the masterpiece of Satan, the chief work of the devil. Many a man would have been a missionary, would have preached his master's gospel boldly, but he had unbelief. How many are in here? They're supposed to be out there on a mission field somewhere. Seeing people saved, seeing a new work started, but you have unbelief. But you're not willing to step out by faith and take Jesus at his promise. Once make a giant unbelieving, he becomes a dwarf. Faith is the Samsonian lock of the Christian. Cut it off, and you can pluck out his eyes, for he can do nothing. All he can do is sit there and beg for people to provide for him what God wants to deliver him from. I've got a friend today, and he's been praying with us about coming up to Shawano to help us with the church plant. He's a career man. He's a layman. He's actually a deacon in a local church. And he's just looking for God to do something. You know, he calls me often and he says, I just need a refreshing. I need God to do something in my life. I need God to do something for my family. He said, we're praying. And I said, pray about Shawano. Maybe God would lead you up there to help us, brother. We'd love to have you come. You would be an asset to the ministry. If God would lead you, we would want you. He called me the other day and he said, hey, brother, he said, I just want you to know I got a job offer today. I said, no way, where? Chicago. Oh, my heart sank. As he began to tell me, I thought, oh no, this is terrible. A friend of his has got 10 car dealerships in the Chicago area, big car dealerships. And he's looking for a GM to help out and run the businesses. Over $200,000 a year. Two brand new cars. Everything taken care of. My heart's sinking. Thinking, oh no, Lord, what's happening? He says, Brother Weber, he says, I prayed about it and God showed me two paths. One of trusting God and one of trusting money. He says, my family doesn't need money, they need Jesus. We're moving to Shawano. How about you? Are you content to be lame? Content to sit around at the feet of people? Or do you want to rush to Jesus today and get all that he has for you? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for the wonderful picture of Christianity, not just the problem, but, Lord, the solution. Thank you that the solution is clear. It's not a process. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now for whatever situations are out here today and whatever reason you wanted this message preached, that, Lord, you would have full sway in hearts today, and that you would be convincing each and every person here who needed to hear this message that this was for them. That this wasn't for the person in the pew next to him. It wasn't for the person down the road. It was for the person that heard with understanding. And Lord, I pray that today that you would have freedom today to convince people that it's your glory. And all they need to do is take you by the hand and trust you and step out by faith. And Lord, I pray that you'd help today in the weakness of men and the unbelief. Lord, oh Lord, strengthen your church, we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor Weber, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. And I need to trust God that he wants to use me in getting out the word of the gospel. Would you pray for me by the uplifted hand? Would you pray for me today? Yes, I see those hands. Yes, all over the room. Yes, amen. All over. Praise the Lord. Let me put those down. You say, Pastor Weber, it's something more than that. It's a step. It's a step of believing God for a habitual sin in my life, something that is keeping me in a place of being crippled, and I need to believe God that there's immediate deliverance for me. And I'm stuck in a lame Christianity because I don't see the deliverance, but today I see it's Jesus. Would you pray for me that I would get all the way to Jesus today? There's something that God's dealing with me in my life. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? I see hands all around the room, all of them around the room. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Jesus came to deliver you today from a Christian life, my friends, and he will do that if you will come to him. So with head bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'll pray. We're going to need a pianist up here. We'll have a quick time of invitation. And I'm asking you today, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, McGuanago Baptist Church. There's a community out there that needs to see Jesus through you. But you have to take the step. Peter and John couldn't do anything for this guy. It was this guy reaching out to them to take what he was offering. And I'm offering you today Jesus Christ and the full deliverance that he has for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that everybody in this room that acknowledge their need, whether it was a gospel issue or whether it was a sin issue or maybe there's something else that I don't even know about that you're dealing with hearts. But I pray right now that those hands that were raised and that heart that you're dealing with right now would step out by dependence, by faith in you and find in you everything they need. And Lord, if there's situations here that need counseling or other things, I pray that those families or those ones would come. Pastor John's here, that they would find him and that they would get the help that they need to work through the dynamics of their scenario. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're the solution. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the piano to play. And this is a time of invitation. Jesus is calling. Would you come?